Blog Talk Radio.
Well, happy new year, blessed new year to everyone. I am so excited to be able to share with you all on this morning. I believe everybody should be, lines should be open. But if your line isn't open, please make sure you text me at 773-779-2900. Again, we are excited to be able to be a part of your year. We're excited about that which the Lord is going to do for us in this upcoming year. And we are definitely looking forward to this meeting's debriefing, and then subsequently the strategy and planning for the 22-23 conference. And so I would just ask if there is a male on the line to open us up in prayer. Is there a male on the line?
Yeah, this is prophetic elder Carter Thomas. Can you hear me?
Bless you, prophet. Can you open us up in prayer, please?
Yes, ma'am. So, Father God, we just thank you for this new year. We thank you for allowing us to be able to join, that there is no distance, that there is no device that is keeping us separate from doing your work. So, Father, we just ask that you will continue to bless our apostle and all that you have given her to do. Bless the work of her hands, the visionary of this house, Father. And we ask that we will receive from you what you have for us this year and beyond. So, Father, we just ask that you would watch over us and conduct this meeting. Be present in this meeting right now. Lead and guide our words. May our hearts be open to receive what you have for us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, we are excited and welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to be able to do a few things with this particular meeting. One is definitely debrief and get your view on the 2021 process and the various ministry opportunities that we use to communicate the sexual relational healing retreat and the redemptive restorative healing experience. And then share with you some vision. And I'm choosing those words very carefully, share with you some vision for the upcoming 2022 and 2023 calendar year as it relates to those two ministry opportunities. And so is there anybody on the line that would like to share how the healing clinics or healing symposiums were for them? Or just how the conference was. Anybody like to share? Should I interpret the silence?
The symposium was very creative. The various people that presented, came across very differently, and so I like the creativity that they brought. And then as far as the conference in November, I liked how many of the classes were repeated, and they were by two different facilitators, so you get to hear it from two different perspectives.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I wondered about that, so thank you for sharing on that. Anybody else?
This is Elder Jen. I thought that specifically in November. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I thought that specifically the topics in November, it was really wonderful how some of them were connected, even though they weren't the same topic. So going from one workshop, a word shop, to the next was often a continued message or a linked message, even though they hadn't necessarily been planned that way by the facilitators.
Okay. That is very true. These unscheduled, unplanned blessings, okay? Anybody else?
Prophetic Elder Carter, I really appreciated the shut-in, the prayer shut-in. It gave me an opportunity to be with y'all, to have extended prayer time, and I really appreciate it. Again, everything that happened during that time, the things that the way God showed up, but I'm saying how everyone participated that were there, and it was just a great time of prayer and fellowship and together. I loved it.
Okay. I think there were some people who just called back in. Your lines are now open. Is someone saying something?
This is Emerging Elder Linda Harris. Be new to everyone. I just want to say I thought the workshop for both the conferences and the healing symposiums was so creative, and they really brought out ministry in a very unique way, considering they were done on Zoom. I also thought that the November conference, the repeat, as Elder April said, hearing it from different perspectives was just awesome. And I can just appreciate how Holy Spirit is just, you know, bringing forth the gifts that are in all of those that participated. And as we listened, built us up in our most holy faith, really minister to our inner man. So I just appreciate everyone who participated, everyone that received, and the opportunity and the platform that it was presented on. So.
Okay. Amen. Thank you all so much for just openly sharing.
Love this.
Anybody else? Okay. Well, if something comes to mind as we're moving forward, please by all means feel free to share. We definitely welcome your insight. So we definitely welcome your insight. So for this 21. Yes.
I just wanted to say I enjoyed the promises that was done by Elder Roberta and the team, and it was every day was such a blessing to hear that, and I also enjoyed the creativity. I was trying to take my phone off mute. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Amen. Yes, we definitely enjoyed that calendar. Yes. All of the other very creative expressions of faith. So I would love to, for 2021, well, let me back up before we really forge ahead. Does anyone have, take you off. Does anyone have any insight and or suggestions for 2022 and beyond? Anything they would like to see or just kind of thought about and, you know, it may be a good idea, who knows, but let's just try it.
This is Elder Jan again. I think it might be helpful for us if we look at adopting some practices, particularly when we're using Zoom or other visual media, of having somebody monitor what's happening in the chat just as a regular practice in case there are questions or needs that are occurring, so that the facilitator of something doesn't have to try to do both and or miss something that might be helpful. If we make a practice maybe of having a monitor for the chat, that might be ongoing improvement or not necessarily improvement, but capacity builder.
No, that's a phenomenal improvement. Anything else?
I would like to see kind of data gathering, like after each event that we host, we could have some as much data as possible. We had 45 participants on Zoom. We had over 100 viewers on the other platforms. Something to that effect to just know, you know, how effective we are in, I don't want to say in reaching, but just to know how many people participated, and that would help us figure out, you know, how to reach more, maybe. So those kind of can see how effective we are in our outreach over those platforms.
I'm just writing, so this is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what it does, too, you know, when we have basically our AEN meetings, we can, you know, kind of give that is also a part of our recap. You know, when we had this particular, the clinical symposium, we had over 150 viewers, at, you know, at the highest point and over these platforms, da 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 da.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. Great. More. Anyone else?
It might also be helpful if that chat monitor or whatever that person would be could also be the person responsible for ensuring that a recorded session is recorded. At the beginning that's initiated, but just a general, kind of like the timekeepers or the evaluators used to do in our live sessions, that sort of overall assistance.
Let me ask the question because I can see that. The person or whoever has the power to press record, or is that power delegated to a particular person? Can anybody do that? Is that a host or a co-host responsibility, or not responsibility, but something that is regulated to one of those individuals as it relates to the Zoom platform?
Yes, it's the host or co-host.
They're the only ones that can press record?
Host or co-host.
Or whoever you give access to. But it can't be no more than three people, from my understanding.
That's good information. I'm making a note. So it is more like that time zone where you pass the authority from, you know, session from a time frame to a time frame. And I am assuming that is something that can be done with Zoom.
But yes, if we have breakout rooms, yes, I don't think breakout rooms can be recorded. So that's just something to keep in mind. You can record the general session, but I don't think you can record breakout rooms.
No, you could just view the breakout and listen to them. That's it. This Kathy, that's all you can do, because I was in a class and the breakouts are not recorded.
Okay. I definitely will see if there is a different package that can be purchased that could afford us the opportunity to do that. I think we're having some really interesting dialogue, so I'm going to just take it to the next place as it relates to this. for as we're in 2022, do we see hosting 2022's experiences, and I don't necessarily mean the experience, but the conference, the healing symposiums, the healing clinic, the retreat, et cetera, both via social media, i.e. Zoom, and in person. Is that something that we see for 2022?
Good morning, Apostle. This is Apostle Hooks. That was my thought. That was what I was going to contribute to the conversation. Just because, you know, historically when we've done the sexual relational healing retreats, we've had hundreds, even, you know, if not a thousand attendees.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that there's been a decline over the years, but I have to ask them, who is our audience? Are we our own audience for this? And so I would just encourage and pray that we be inspired in the future to increase our outreach, you know, even if we are just reaching out to, you know, shelter the homeless population, but also making a deliberate attempt to reach out to churches and just identifying, you know, who could benefit from this teaching and you know, try to get them on. And if that doesn't look like they are coming to the conference, you know, as we have it in November, then it could look like, yeah, let's have something for them or craft something for them so that we have it just for them, have an event just for them or whatever the case may be. So I would just love for it to be not just Laborers for Christ, AEN folk on here receiving, but that we have it. Have an open floor, an open forum for the broader audience, a broader audience. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Any other inputs and suggestions, recommendations for the 2022-23? Okay. As it relates to some of the things that I am reflecting on or would like us to consider as it relates to this 2022-2023 calendar year for the Sexual Relational Healing Retreat and the Redemptive Restorative Healing Experience are the following things. So as it relates to 2022, I definitely would like to see three healing symposiums that are, you know, obviously both virtual and in person, so hybrid symposiums, that they don't have to take the look of last year's, but because they can definitely be formatted however we deem fit, but definitely three, and having a consortium of individuals host each of those symposiums. So the same people wouldn't be necessarily hosting those symposiums, but it would be a different group hosting each of the three symposiums. Then to conclude with mid-year and end of the year, if possible, to do your relational restorative healing experience and then your sexual relational healing retreat, all preparing to do for 2023 an in-person conference that we use some airtime for, airtime being TV time. So that is, excuse me, that is the generic vision that I bring to the table for 2022-2023. And so I wanted to have some dialogue with you all regarding that.
Good morning, Apostle. This is Elder Deborah. Are you saying the three symposiums, or the did you say healing symposiums? Was that correct? Would that
right.
be going on
simultaneously? No, I just actually called them healing symposiums. We can call them anything, but do three things. So, you
three,
know.
Three separate, not three things happening concurrently all at the same time, right? Or no?
No, no, three separate ones. Three separate ones throughout the year.
Okay. Like every 4 months kind of?
Yes, yes. And with respectively, with the audiences being different for each one. And again, because you'll have a different team you'll have a different team hosting each one, then they would become responsible for broadening the scope of who the audience is, who their target audience would be. Been so interactive just to go silent. Okay, well, I'll just continue to share. So, again, the 2022 happening basically quarterly. And then doing the sexual relational healing and the redemptive restorative experience, healing experience, which actually puts about five things on the calendar, each hosted by a different team, along with and out of those gatherings, out of those gatherings, to emerge some publication. So that's what I have for 2022. So, and then obviously 2023 publications, but we looking at in-person, trying the hotel concept, and it's not a hotel per se, you know, retreat center, but that kind of in-person gathering along with airtime being not just social media, but TV as well.
So, Apostle, this is Overseer.
Yes.
We would need to come up with perhaps four topics that we wanted to focus on each one of these gatherings.
Yes.
Okay.
So for
instance, and then it would
one of the could you repeat that please, Overseer?
No, I was going to a next question, but I'll let you bring clarity for me for that one. Go ahead.
Okay, so we would look at topics or, again, let's just call them topics. So, for instance, I want to see a symposium, healing clinic, whatever we want to call it, is geared specifically towards upper-tier leaders. When this first started, 1999, let's just say, I don't know. One of the focuses, it was very, very important that we set aside Thursday to minister exclusively to leaders, exclusively to pastors. And so as the years have gone, I think we've had a leadership component, but I don't know whether we've actually had the opportunity to minister exclusively to leaders in these areas of sexual and relational redemption or sexual relational healing. So I definitely would like to see one that is more by invitation only and focused on leaders. And I can stop there.
Yeah.
Say that again, please.
No, I just, you said you'll stop there. I didn't know why.
Yeah, I wanted to give people an opportunity
okay.
to share, to kind of hear where people were at
okay.
with what we are proposing for 2022.
Well,
I
know my
thought. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you go ahead, please.
I definitely agree that if you're only going to, for at least one of those symposiums, you're only going to target a specific group of individuals. I think you said upper tier leaders, and I think that definitely would be by invitation only, because you don't want to open it up to people who may not, may not necessarily benefit, or it's not something they need to be exposed to at that particular time in their relationship. You know, so I think definitely if you're going to have a specific group that you want to minister to, then it should be by invitation only.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with that.
Amen. I have a question.
Yes. Yes. Thank
is
you.
There
yes.
A
I don't think that. Go on. Someone said I have a question.
Yeah, is there a certain experience level that you're looking at, like those that have been in ministry for a certain amount of years? I mean, how would you differentiate if you're, how would you invite? You know, what's the criteria for the invitation? If it's for all leaders, then, you know, newly ordained leaders, newly ordained, is it ordained pastors?
Are we specifically talking about the one that is for upper tier
leaders
only?
Yes.
So, again, that would be by invitation only, and it would be for those, not necessarily, I wouldn't say somebody had to be in leadership for 50 years, but they would have had to have had some leadership. They would have to serve in a leadership capacity where they have spent time, I don't want to say mobilizing people, but being over people. So a lot of people serve in leadership, and we work with people, but we don't necessarily serve over people and have not done that consistently for years. And so we are talking about senior pastors. We're talking about individuals who have served and have not been served and have not had the space and I'll say the space to receive healing and training, because it's not just healing, because we also want to put some preventive things out there. I really want to spend some time talking about prevention this year, not just, you know, it's too late, we're catching you on the end, and now you need to be healed, but definitely talk about some preventive measures. And so we are talking about individuals that have served in those capacities and have been wounded, not wounded church individuals, but wounded leaders who need triage very differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But again, that particular one is by invitation only, and the key that will serve is by invitation only as well.
Got it.
Great question.
This is Apostle KP. I'm sorry. I'm trying to come up to speed. And so from what I'm hearing, we're putting in place quarterly gatherings to be hosted by different teams for 2022 that perhaps may be a segue to 2023, a retreat, sexual relational retreat at a retreat center. So I'm just trying to come up to speed. So that's what I'm I've gotten so far. Could you enlighten me or, yeah.
No, that's where we're at.
Okay.
So right now we're just, I've shared that. We're looking, I want to hear people's feedback, their dialogue, if they have any questions. I believe Overseer talked about just beginning to submit some topics to be covered this year. So we definitely want to open ourselves for that, put some dates on a calendar, and then begin to put boots to the ground.
And Apostle, this is Overseer. And I was, because we're the debriefing from November 2021, I think it would be a symposium or two that would be good dedicated to the follow-up for that conference, for that gathering, for that healing. And the focus being on, you know, now what? You know, a lot was presented, very, very powerful tools were given. You know, are those tools now being utilized? How are they being utilized? The power of utilizing them. And even as you were saying, the training for utilizing the things that the information that we have received. So that's my input.
I have a question, Apostle. Well, I guess two questions. Based on what you said, that do you mean like the end of this year, talking about the end of last year? So when you say there should be a room for debriefing, or are you anticipating in the future if there's a conference in November of this year, and as we go into 2023, the next thing would have a debriefing on that prior, that most recent prior event? That's just, I don't know, I'm just asking that for clarification, because I don't remember what we talked about last year. I'm just wondering, I'm not trying to be funny, I'm just wondering that how would we get back to that place without, I think, spending valuable time?
Well, I guess that's what this meeting is. This meeting is a debriefing from what happened in November. So we don't want an event to happen and then we walk away from it and that's it. Was any follow-up necessary, needed? Was anybody...
I thought you meant like in the future. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. When you're saying, I didn't mean like this meeting. I thought you were just saying as we move forward, where do we place the debriefing piece in the schedule for the ongoing meeting? Yeah. But I see what you mean. Yeah, I wasn't taking that as this meeting being a debriefing of the past November. And then my other comment was just, I remember, this has been many years ago, but I can remember being at the sexual relation or healing retreat and overhearing pastors coming out of one or two of those Thursday sessions and really being blessed. They were talking about how they were blessed. Because I don't think that there, even though I'm not a pastor, I think there are very few opportunities. And the pastors I know won't expose themselves amidst other people, whether they are senior leadership or not, if they are not of like kind. Like pastors will talk about their people with other pastors, but they're not going to talk about their people with you unless it's... You guys feel where I'm going. So I just think that that's a very good thing. I think that is a very good outlet for those senior leaders that are leading people, because they don't have a place, I think in a lot of cases, a place to go for that, you know. And it's a real thing. I knew a young minister, and he was doing that. He was a counselor to pastors. But unfortunately, he has passed on. Not unfortunately, but he has passed. But that was, you know, I mean, that was a thriving, believe it or not, a thriving business. And that's all he did was counsel pastors, you know.
Yep.
So I think that would be a great place. And I think that I think that that invitation only would probably give people the anonymity so that everybody didn't know where everybody was and all that. I think that's a good thing, you know.
All right.
This is Pastor Tressa.
Yeah. So
I greatly appreciated those opportunities where leadership could be ministered to, and not only does it allow for people to open up, it allows for people to be transparent, and I think that that is not something people are going to do. So I also agree that the there are those who have the discernment to comprise a list of invitations, and those invitations would be greatly appreciated among the leadership because it allows for not only transparency, but discretion and confidentiality.
Amen. Oh, anybody else? Wow, that's good.
Apostle, when you talk about doing like healing symposiums, you know, to me this whole Zoom thing seems so one-dimensional, but I'm just wondering, is anybody on the line or something where I know that they're doing all kind of counseling and therapy and all of this all via Zoom. I'm just wondering, anybody have any experience with that? Are they, do people really, really connect? And that's a genuine question. I mean, I don't quite get it, but that doesn't mean, you know, doesn't mean anything that I don't get it. I'm just wondering if the model, if you will, for ministering to people. You know, I mean, I think we can talk to them. You know, I mean, I know that there can be the questionnaires,
absolutely,
the polls, and all of those things, but I don't know. To me, it's something about that dynamic when you're in the room with somebody, when you can feel, sometimes you can feel the energy change. You can feel, you know, you can sense the breakthrough. And my stuff has been very just outward from a Zoom capacity, you know, almost like a talking head. And I know that's not what you're looking for. So I guess I'm just wondering, anybody have any suggestions, or is there another approach, or whatever? You know, I know that's rambling, but I don't know any other way to kind of articulate it.
Oh, okay.
In the marketplace currently with counseling centers that I am affiliated with, they are for the most part entirely virtual. And Elder Carter would have to, you know, support or chime in. Very lucrative. But from a personal ministerial perspective, and it wasn't 2021, it was 2020, those opportunities that I had to offer those services during the retreat and the experience, those are very fulfilling, and those people had access to me via, I don't know how they got calls to me. I do know how they got to me. They would contact Elder Sherita, and Elder Sherita would be the liaison between me and those people, and then I would contact those. And those were very fulfilling, and they made for lasting counseling relationships for myself and those people.
You're talking 101, though, right, Doc?
Yes. Yes, you don't do counseling because you spoke specifically to counseling. You wouldn't do our workshops are group counseling. But if you had someone coming to you with more serious issues or more serious concerns, then you would do that one-on-one. And I thought that's where you were looking for that energy to come from, with those one-on-one contacts.
Yes, yes,
and
I was just trying to get clarity. Yes.
I think the year that we did it that way, and I don't recall what Zoom conference it was, what year that was, but people were able to schedule or in the midst of it call and say yes. They needed to speak with someone, and they were routed to, you know, a counselor, or so if they needed deliverance, they were routed to someone or a group of people where they could receive those more specialized or more intense one-on-one services from. And that was just done via, I hate to say, via referral or via a more private request, and it was very, very, very well utilized. I think that was the year that we did the 24-hour conference.
And it was 2020.
We kept people, the counselors and the deliverance team, very busy that year, and actually for quite some time afterwards, because people needed more than those one or two sessions that they got over the course of those 24 hours. So they had a need to follow up with people in whatever capacity that they followed up in. So I think that we definitely saw a margin of success with the accessibility that we have been given.
Okay. Yeah. I understand that much, much better. I did not understand that was going on behind the scenes. So I apologize for taking up that time in this meeting. I just didn't realize that was going on. So I'm sorry. I didn't understand that clearly.
No, that's fine, because other people may not have known that was going on behind the scenes. But I'm sure.
Because I always wondered, I'm like, are we leaving these people hanging? We open up this stuff and then, you know, we go to bed. But I had no idea that was happening. So, you know, bless God, that is great. Thank you.
No, and maybe we need to, I think for confidentiality purposes, I try to be a little more creative, but maybe what needs to happen as we move forward is to let everybody know that it's available in the event that they're in a session, you know, and they feel like they need to refer somebody from their session. We let the participants know it was available, and they capitalized on it. There were people that requested their counseling session before the conference started. We didn't even know them. That's how we met two people. They knew coming into that virtual conference that they needed to be seen on a more one-on-one basis before being able to receive from the conference. And so that didn't happen as much last year. That was very,
that,
very,
that
very,
is
very
great. I think that there's
I think there's already a
foundation set for the ministry, where people trust the integrity and the fidelity of the ministry. So I can see how that would be great. I can think of some folks I know, family members or whatever, if I understood that if they were watching and they had something else, that there was somewhere that they could call. I think that that is a great asset. So, like I said, it was just a matter, I think, of connecting the dots and really understanding that there was a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. Kind of like, you know, we were the tip of the iceberg, but it was a whole bunch of stuff happening, you know, under the surface.
Yeah.
So, I think if people know that going in, You could probably have all the referrals that you can handle, you know, literally.
And we did for 2020.
I have a question.
Yes.
Apostle, we
mentioned
Elder Carter, who is got information can't be heard, but indicating that they have a meeting.
I think multiple people are speaking, so it's coming across very jumbled.
Sorry. I was saying a prophetic Elder Carter is sending messages because he says he can't be heard, but that he has a monthly meeting for senior leaders, and that this month the meeting is with the Ambassadorial Prophet Metropolitan, and is on PT, hold on, let me get it right, P PTSD. So there are situations and organizations out there that we may want to connect with for that phase of the session, because it's something that's already been established, as Pastor T was saying. And so the structure is there, and now some of the resources are coming forth. But he said we can't hear him, so he may not be on a speaker or something.
Overseer, could you repeat that contact? It was CT something.
PTSD.
Okay.
Post-traumatic stress disorder?
I don't know what it is. I'm reading you what he put down.
Okay, so he's talking about
post-specific. Traumatic. Okay, if that's what that is, that's what the subject is this month.
Okay.
If it's mental health, that's what it is.
So
he's a counselor. Post-traumatic stress disorder. He is bringing clarification. It is what is going to be the topic of all senior leaders this month. It will include Metropolitan, I'm sure as counselors, Metropolitan, Ambassadorial Prophet, as well as the Prophetic Elder Carter. Or is he a prophet now? I don't know. Whatever.
If we could have the act, if that is an invitation, if he could tell us how we can access that, it would be appreciated.
Okay, I will tell him. He hears.
He can hear me.
He just can't comment.
He's garbled.
So he hears the meeting, but he can't. His comments aren't being heard. So, Elder, if you would contact Apostle, that would be great. After the meeting. Amen. That's it.
Oh. So this is Kathy. I participate in a grief share group every week, and we do it via Zoom. And it's very effective. There's a pastor on there. There's a student pastor on there. And there are people on there from all over the United States. And the group is very cohesive. And at the beginning, you know how at the retreat we used to give out the rules, and these are the guidelines, and that's how it's run. And it is highly effective. And people share. People cry. People love on each other. And now several people have gotten together and had lunch, had dinner. And, I mean, it's very encouraging to each other. So I don't think that there's any hindrances. It's just that you have to want to be a willing participant, you know, when you go through that medium. Like, so it's very effective. That's my take on the Zoom. So it can be very effective. You just have to set the ground and move forward. Hello. Someone else talking.
No, someone needs to put their phone on mute. We hear your conversation. So you're talking, you should put your phone on mute. No problem.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So, yeah, I really like Zoom because, like I said, people are from all over the United States. We have people in Kentucky, people in Alabama, people in Mexico, all on this grief share group. So it could be utilized very effectively.
And I would like to remind everyone, when we had the 24-hour one and when we had the Zoom one, maybe in November that wasn't 24 hours, but anyway, when we had it, people didn't want to get off the line. It was over. And yet the flow, and you knew that it had shifted, and the Holy Spirit was ministering, and people stayed on the line for hours. So I believe that even in this technological environment, Holy Spirit is not limited by how
he gives us discernment, how he lets us know when things have shifted, how he prepares for that shift with meetings such as this, so that we can have a focus that, you know, what our motto or the thing that we wear is, I believe God. And I don't care if I can't see you, touch you. He can see you, touch you. And sometimes that's an even more personal, because you realize the network by which he's gone through to deliver this message to you. Like Dr. Kathy was saying, all over the country, and they found me in this one little place. So I think this is going to be a very, very powerful avenue, but we do need to be prepared for it. We need training for it. God knows I need training for it. We need to know how to get in and out of these rooms. And there's so much technical knowledge that's necessary. We may need a meeting for the technical knowledge so that we become more proficient and more comfortable in doing it this way. And this is from someone who, yes.
Sorry, I did not intend to interrupt you. I apologize.
Fine, you're fine.
I was just connecting to that very thing you were saying. And, Apostle, I know you asked earlier or mentioned that we should think about some of the topics. And so it sounds like one of the topics we could definitely do at some point, maybe repeat it a few times throughout the year, would be cultivating connections in this digital world, or cultivating connections in a disconnected time. And it could...
Oh, Elder, can you text that one to me?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So I can just write that down.
Include some sessions for people at every level of ministry, and certainly maybe some targeted ones for those leadership folks, even if it sounds like some of the sessions that you intend to do for the upper leadership are far more counseling intent. And so maybe this is just some resources available for them where it doesn't have to take up workshop time, but that could be useful. And even looking at some of the practices of existing ministries that are using technology particularly well, and what we can learn and borrow from them. And then I have a few other topic suggestions that I jotted down when we're ready for that part of the conversation too.
Amen. Yes. Are we ready for that part of the conversation now, people?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to have to co-chair this meeting with people because I get to the action part. I'm ready to go. And then I forget what we're doing when we veer into some of the more specific of things. So, all right, I'm ready for potential topics.
I just have two to share for now, and that was Elder Deborah led us to that great cache of books that were being given away, and so many of those titles seem to be familiar with people. It might be good to do a good book talk to just pick out some of those titles that would be particularly useful to share with folks and give them a sort of juicy bite of what it is about this book that they'd be interested in. And yes, that is my inner library nerd talking. And then the other one was farming the fruit. And so having an intentional conversation about fruit of the Spirit and how are we intentionally stirring it in our own lives and in the lives of those with whom we're interacting in ministry.
I'm just writing. We're good. I have it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else have some topics they would like us to consider. Elder Jen, did you text me the previous topic?
No, I was going to do it after the call, but I will do it right now.
Oh, thank you.
But
okay,
since
I'm writing.
There was one more. Sorry, there was one
okay,
more.
Okay, I'm
when we were in the ordination group, Prophet kept saying, God is cutting-edge technology. And I'm not even sure what would be in that word shop, but it seems like there's something there that would be marvelous to explore. Yeah.
Thumbs up. Anybody else? And again, I appreciate all of the participation.
Apostle.
Any other?
What about one in regards to where do we go from here with COVID, with so much other things that has occurred? So that was a topic that I believe is.
Say that again, please. I didn't hear you.
Where do we go from here?
Oh, Jesus.
And with COVID, with everything, with people, family, lives, with all the changes that have occurred in the last 2 years, where do we go from here?
I got it. Where do we go from here after the disrespect of COVID? I got you.
All right.
The disrespect. Apostle, I don't know if I really have a title, but I think that that whole, and this may be what Minister Pat was in the same vein, maybe, I'm not sure, but the whole anxiety mm-hmm. and depression among the church,
yeah.
you know, where I think that at one point we were a safe haven, but, you know, I think there I've seen, you know, in our fellowship a lot of people that are just despondent. And really I think
yeah.
it's just anxiety and depression and just, you know, with the whole tension, this all this political infighting. So I don't know, that might be in that same, you know, deal with where do we go from here.
I can see that being something very separate. I can see that being separate, Elder, only because anxiety and depression within churchdom is a real untouched issue, and it is an issue that we have been merciless in. And so really opening up the dialogue for people to begin to share, and because there are so many additional types of anxiety being added to the books with all of these adjustment disorders and things like that that have stemmed as a result of COVID. However, it's here, it is going to outlast COVID, and what should be the church's response to it? So, yeah, I could definitely see that being very separate.
That sounds like a healing symposium.
Say that again, Elder.
That sounds like a healing symposium, having a whole healing symposium surrounding
Ooh.
Those issues or topics or what have you.
Okay. Question possible. I'm making a note, possible.
In his image, fearfully and wonderfully made. There's some great scriptures you can
yeah.
hang on that.
Yes,
come
I think
on.
It's empowering the church. And so okay, what else? Phenomenal.
This is Minister Brenda. I have a topic. It will be a three-part workshop. One, I'm okay. This is dealing with singles, and then the other one, before you say I do. This, and then also one dealing with married couples.
Okay. Just put this up.
relationship. Okay, and so we did single, three, marriage, and then marriage. Got it. Yes. All right, what else? Phenomenal.
I am reading this book by Dr. Robert Morgan, and it's called Strength. It's called Strength, The Strength You Need, The 12 Great Strength Passages, the Bible. And it, in this day, we are just to do the normal routine task has become so exhausting sometimes with all that's going on. And, you know, let's put in our little, our fears and our doubts about the tomorrow that we, you know, and the things that are happening in our families and just in our day-to-day, how to stay focused on that. With the help of God's scriptures and his word and his faithfulness to us to continue the journey of getting through. I don't know what kind of workshop that could be, but I
That's
think it,
it
would really
it,
be a refocusing.
I got you. My stress is strangling my strength. I got you. Keep going.
Okay.
I'm with you all. Keep going.
I don't know
that
this is a
text the name of the book just so that we can make sure that we have it appropriate. I'm sorry, somebody was saying something?
I guess this is more of a question than a flat-out suggestion, but this will probably not be a workshop, but maybe a ministry opportunity. But could there be an invite for a collaboration conversation if there are other ministries that are looking to partner and collaborate on a particular project over the course of the year or an event or something and just engage in the conversation about how might we partner with community entities or other ministry entities for some purpose? Maybe that's a opportunity to explore.
I'm writing, that is superb. That is going to feed into my 2023, so that's perfect. A part of what I would like to see is different community organizations undergirding each of the healing symposium, being a resource and a reference. And then I would like to see different geographical locations hosting them. So I know we think Zoom, and obviously Zoom is worldwide, but I would like to see different geographical locations hosting various Zoom or hybrid healing symposiums or training clinics, things of that nature. I was trying to think of what it was called within the scope of CCTI, but it's leaving me right now. But CCTI has a component where of collaboration where we come in and we work with the organization to help put them, help format them so that they can be launched to move forward. And so just seeing the partnerships within that moving forward aggressively. So that's phenomenal. Thank you. Anyone else?
Apostle, I think that there would have to be, that it would be good to have something on sexuality. I don't know exactly which way it would be approached. There's so many different, you know, tenets on that. So, but I think that there would need to be something, because I think that that's kind of like the elephant in the room. And what, you know, I don't know whether talking about a narrative on it or just, I really don't know, but I think that there, that is something that is pressing and that has, that is affecting, you know, the church. And I'm not just talking about sexuality, but I just mean the whole, and I don't necessarily think it would have to be really a whole workshop, but I think that there needs to be kind of like the what's happening now. So be it transgendered.
No, Elder, you know, I agree.
Even
brought something on pansexuality. And I said, there is no pansexuality. And they were like, yes, it is. And here is their flag. And I had no words at that point because they brought me the flag and everything. And so when our youth are talking about pansexuality and its presence within being normal conversation, I think we have to go back to having get back to our roots, which is addressing sexual disturbance and distortion within the body of Christ. Because I'm telling you, that kid brought me sexuality with the flag, and I was floored.
That is something I hadn't heard about the flag, but I think that if we start from what we believe, that makes it much easier than trying to deal with the other things that are out there. That, you know, from we start from what the Bible says about who we are. So just talking even about that piece, I think that's one piece. Even if we're not talking about any type of deviant anything, just what the Bible says, and I think that creates a basis so that when we talk about things, but just like you're talking about the whole pan, you know, one of my nieces told me that this whole idea of non-binary, like, you don't really understand what non. I'm like, I do, you know, and normative, non-normative sexual behavior. But I mean, it is so even in the. This was a college person, but even, and I'm saying, you know, even in my family that I know of. Three of my nieces that I found out over the holidays that are questioning their sexuality, and all of these girls are under 14, which to me was just mind-blowing, because I'm thinking, how can you be nine? Why? How is that even a conversation? But it is definitely out there. They are talking to each other. There is a whole language about this non-binary.
Yes.
And I mean, not anything new, but I'm just saying it has become so commonplace that when you say something against it, it's like they're vilifying, like, what, you just think it's boys and girls? No. You know, and I do believe that there's a spectrum. I do believe there's a fluidity and all of those things, but I think that everything is being handled in such a jumbled way that there is no way to figure out even what the basis is, what the normal basis is. So I think that maybe a workshop on just who we are in Christ, how we're made as sexual, sensual beings. So we need to talk about that first, and then I think that that gives room for other discussions and other things. But I think if we start talking about that first, that can open up, you know, like, fearfully, wonderfully made. I think that was Elder who just said something about the human component. But I think that if we start with the basics, I think that'll blow up your referral, because I think we'll get so many people that'll say, you know, that's a bunk, that's not the way it really is. Y'all just don't know. But what you want to do is open a room of thought and get people in dialogue and conversation.
This is Pastor Tressa again. Somebody's background is speaking, but I'm going to keep going. So Elder Deborah said that everything's all jumbled up, but I believe that it's all jumbled up for the church. It's not all jumbled
yeah.
up for the world, because in my capacity as a teacher, every single year, CPS requires that I take at least 30, they call them safe school webinars. And the safe school webinars are usually between 15 and 30 minutes in length. And if you don't take one, they send you repeated emails about the ones you haven't taken. If you don't take them in a certain time, you know, you're threatened to lose your job or whatever. So the one that I left was on transgender, sexual, binary, pansexual, because it was almost 2 hours long. And so you take these and you have to take an exam. So I just left it. I left it actually until the Christmas break. Thing that I heard is part of not just Chicago's curriculum for students and teachers. It's nationwide, I don't know, globally, but in our country, these curriculums are set up. I learned about, you know, sexuality being a social construct, and all of these things are contrary to the word of God, but it feeds what the world wants. And because it's taught, or these spaces are opened up in our schools, that's how a 9-year-old or a 14-year-old would know about these things. And the church does not address these things. So I think even as we, as Elder Deborah says, we tell people who they are and who God has made them to be, and what scriptures or what words we're standing on to live our lives in this way, we also need to educate parents about
yes.
what is being taught in their schools,
in the school.
The philosophies that are being put forth in their schools. You know, the first thing in this 2 hours that blew my mind is that gender is a social construct.
Yeah,
and
right.
that is how they mm-hmm. are now justifying people, I know who I am, how male and females are being raised from birth, you know, what toys you buy. We don't do Zoom, we do Google Meet. You have to identify how you want to be identified. So
yeah.
My name is Tressa D. McMillan, and I answer to the pronouns of she and her.
Mm-hmm.
Or I am Tressa D. McMillan, and I answer to the pronouns of him and he. It
or
is
they
just,
and them.
It is per, or they and them. It is pervasive, and parents have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And when the church becomes mm-hmm. more aware, if we don't address it, you know, as we teach those who sit, they will have no idea, because there's no other curriculum that goes counter to that teaching. All right, you rose the passion in me. I'm done.
We've had to do the same type of training in my line of work as a social worker. It is 2 hours long. Yeah, it's 2 hours. There's a whole language you know, in that community. And, you know, and yes, we do have to, you know, put in our emails, you know, what pronouns we answer to and things of that nature. And then there are some individuals that they don't go by a name. They just go by a letter, you know, the letter A or D or whatever. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to address you. Like, are you he? Are you her? What are you? You know, because they just go by a letter. And so, you know, it is a very, I'm going to say a sensitive topic for those individuals, because they may feel vilified, you know, like.
And you can be sued.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's the thing. We have to address in addition to that, how do we empower Christians that are growing up in this time to respond? Because their response can be classified as a
discrimination.
And hate crime. Thank you.
Yeah.
And they can be, they are punished when they respond, you're going to hell if you believe that. You know,
right.
Timothy brought me something. Well, he is the one that enlightened me on these areas, but then he brought something. He was like, oh, my God, some animal died that was pregnant because some people had had sex with it. And he had been showing me a series of things, and I kept responding, oh, baby, we have to pray for them. And if that's that flag, every time you see it, you know, just pray. By the time he brought me back, he said, don't tell me to pray because they don't need prayer. They're going to hell. There really wasn't anything else I could say. That whole mercy thing had just ran wax cold with him. He did not want me to tell him to pray for another thing that was against God, period. He wasn't hearing it. So I realized then, how do we address our youth who are scripturally sensitive, okay, that they understand and are passionate about the things of God, and they are growing up in a godless culture, and they respond, and they are not silent. They got the whole let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, the violent, you know, taking it down. And yet that they're going to suffer natural consequences. Yeah, well, but that's not really something, you know, that's real tolerated amongst certain classes of people. And there are serious consequences. So how do we empower people to stand in a twisted, perverse culture? Because this, before it gets better, it's going to get worse.
Apostle, there are some, you know, I listen to Moody, and Moody has a program that talks of, that kind of deals with these situations where Christians are standing up for, you know, their beliefs in the system when they feel like they're being challenged or being punished for it. Maybe just to reach out to them is a start to tell us, you know, what our rights are and how can we kind of, if not, how can we speak or stand or just make our opinions known so that we're not punished, but we have a voice. I guess that's it. I'll do that.
Amen.
I'll reach out for that.
You know, I think this is overseer. I think the time is now. We're going to be punished. That's what he said was going to happen. We're going to be persecuted. So we need to prepare them for the persecution so that they understand the battle is won and they can fight victoriously. That's what we have to show them, because if I get in trouble because I hit you, but you don't get in trouble if you just curse the name of God, then there is a problem here. And yet, if we don't speak up, then we have a problem. God needs his children to speak up for him and then trust him to have your back. I don't care what they do, what they did to Christ. He said, I take it all with joy, because he knew what it was bringing forth, the will of the Father, and that was a good thing. And that's the type of thing we have to empower, not just the children, the adults.
That
I
will
be in a situation where I'll let something that's ill, that's wrong. I'm not going to call you that. You want to sue me, then you sue me. If that's what I must do, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call you what God has showed me he made you. And that's it. And there is no black and white and gray and shades of black, nor shades of gray.
nor shades of white. That's just the way it is. So if you're going to sue me, sue me. You're going to stone me, stone me. That's the kind of environment God is preparing us for. Because of what the apostle is saying is true. It's going to get a lot worse. Mm-hmm. And we cannot stop all of the gates, all right, that are being released and the demons that are coming forth. But the scripture says they will not prevail against us. So they may be released, but they're not getting in. As long as we, you know, keep your eyes on the hills from which cometh your help. Christ told the devil, you know, I live by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. Not the words I like, not the words that are safe or comfortable or, you know, after all, it don't take all. Yeah, it does. He said it, he wrote it, and so it is. And so I think that that's one of those urgent things that the church needs to release upon the people so that the people will be prepared for the persecution. We want to get prepared for the promise and you know, all of the bright and glorious things. We need to get prepared for the persecution because it's coming.
And our children are the future, yeah. are being totally,
and they
totally.
Are more they are more committed to God than we are.
Yeah,
because we're saying, all right, just let it go. No, don't let it go. He's going, no, it's wrong. It's wrong. Why should I let it go? But we tell them, let it go. Don't shake the boat. Don't rock the boat. You know, society won't view you right and blah, 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 blah. So know how God views you. And you see God's eye view and not God's eye view of the world. So that's the message that needs to be urgently delivered to the people. So
I think that's a workshop. A word shop too.
Apostle Hook sent things over. Actually, he sent over, he summarized in title a few things that we're talking about. And the only other thing I believe that we haven't addressed that he summarized was about money and God, or the God of your money. And, you know, well, once you start talking about money, you shift the conversation.
this happened. Can I say one thing?
Some
real quick? But yeah, listen. At work now, you guys know I work in county, and so we see some of everybody, and it's so ingrained now that in the assessment, you're asking people, okay, you were born a male. How do you identify yourself? And one of the nurses got in trouble. Actually, it went all the way to the on-duty administrator. Now, you're talking about somebody's license, and a patient said that he was treated badly. He was discriminated against because this is his lifestyle, and he feels like this is who he is. And so now the whole admission process has all this mess on here. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's the same thing with my family. My niece turning herself into a guy, and I told her, I said, baby, it don't matter what you look like. You still my niece, and I can't call you anything else. I'm not going to help you believe the lie. Your mama may do it, your auntie who a pastor, you know, and they all came out against me like, how could you say something like that? Well, I have to come out against you and say something like that because I can't help you live this lie. You a girl. You always going to be a girl. It is a mess out there with all these people and all these things that they got going on. So we do need to be able to talk to our kids now because you have three-year-olds talk about they non-binary. How do they know what that is? Three-year-olds.
Thank you.
You know, it's out there. We just have to speak up.
We're going to have to worry about our three-year-olds not being violent because they're born fighters. They know to fight until we beat them down and we break their spirit, and then they give in to society. They come here at odds with that which is at odds with God. They really do. But we beat it out of them because it's not acceptable.
Mm. And I think that's part of how does the church reconcile, or how does the church, I guess, respond when we are walking a fine line? You know, as Dr. Kathy says, we don't want to support. We're not going to support the lie. But how do we love them to the life, to life?
I don't think we're walking a fine line. I think that Dr. Kathy's response was the response. What Overseer is saying. You have to confront with what you believe, which is the word of God. And you have to be bold about it. I can't say, you know, you're my niece, nephew, whoever, and I love you, so I'm going to sugarcoat you. Every response that we're given the opportunity to give someone may be the last response that they get to hear that's the truth of God.
God's truth.
So
that's
what Overseer is saying. As adults, we shrink back, but our children are bold. So they are bold for God. They are bold for Jesus. They come here prepared to do the word of God. And when we teach them to shrink back, the ones that are coming now, like Timothy, they're not going to. You know, they ain't going for that. This is what God says. And so if our children can say to other people, this is what God says, that should be our stand.
Okay, and then they come to our church. How do we?
So when they they see the people, and they see the response of the people. And that's where these gatherings and these healings and these symposiums is going to equip us with the right response. Because children even look at your face when they tell you something to see how are you going to respond. Are your eyes going to, like mine, be in wonder and go, what are you talking about, little boy? Okay. Or are we going to be knowledgeable? And you know, and so it's how we respond. And that's one of the topics is how the church responds to every word that comes to us from every direction that it is going to come. And we're going to be ready because the apostle is leading us into the place of preparation. So everybody, you know, get your anointing and put it on the table. And let God work it. He got the agenda.
Overseer, that broad, how do we respond, would cover everything that we've talked about. How do we respond about our money, about our sexuality? How do we respond about our attitude? How do we respond about our work ethic? How do we, you know, I mean, whatever. Because that really
And you know what? God has an answer.
He
has an answer.
For everything.
A response.
Yes.
That's it. And that's what we need to know, believe, embrace, and do. And we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so those are the things, like somebody said right at the beginning, you got to know who God says we are. Because if we don't know that, the God we do not know, if we don't know it, we're going to fall. Because the only way to stand is to stand on his promises. And we have to believe what he says, all of what he says. So it's really an exciting time. It is a victorious time. And the enemy understands that. So the persecution, y'all, is going to get great. Everybody on the line, just put your whole armor on because it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I think that we have had some phenomenal discussion. And so what I would like to do is build from what we have and then begin to put some dates on the calendar and even possibly see if people are interested in hosting a particular
So, Apostle, should we do that now?
I'm getting the calendar so that I can.
I'm looking at March and April, July, August concept, sometime in October, September, October. Again, those dates are there's flexibility within all of those things.
I'm
interested in is definitely, and I'm not sure if any of those people are actually on the line, but definitely coming up with a strategy, as somebody else said, I think it was Apostle Hooks, but I'm not sure, increasing our audience base, you know, who identifying who is our audience, and reaching out beyond ourselves. And if we are to be the audience, then formatting this differently as informational type of settings, depending on who the audience is, and giving some kind of CPUs or CUs, making this more from a training perspective. So really kind of getting a sense of the audience so that we'll know how to better lay it out. How is that?
If we're looking at quarterly, Apostle, the dates would be April 9th, July 9th, October the 8th.
Say that again, please.
If you're looking at quarterly, then it'd be April 9th, July 9th, and October the 8th.
April 9th?
That's the second Saturday of those months. So
July 9th and October 8th. Okay, gotcha. Let me turn to those. Thank you very much. Okay. April, I have it. And then you said July. Okay. And how do these dates sound so far?
We may need those dates for preparation. Of course, it's just once a month. So, no, that's fine. That'll work.
These two dates. There you go. All right. And then the conference being the November, I just had that. I think it was the 17th, November 17th through the 20th. November 17th through the 20th. Okay, so we definitely bare minimum released about 15 or so topics. And so with the few moments that we have left in this strategy meeting, wanting to go, I know that one of the things that we talked about, I think it was Overseer that mentioned in terms of how do we debrief, have a symposium to debrief from the 2021 conference. And I was trying to reflect on how do you reach out to those individuals that were a part of that particular symposium. Is there, back to, I don't know whether it was Elder Jen or Elder Lynette, but is there any data that we actually have access to let us know who participated in the 2021 conference, so that they can, those individuals personally, can really receive an invite to the first symposium, that an aspect of it can be recapping and, you know, now what, and then structuring the topics to kind of pick up from there and yet move us forward. So that being a connector symposium or whatever we want to call it. So is there anybody, any group of people before we volunteer you?
Oh, hold on.
Any group of people before we volunteer you that is interested in being a part of that? My apologies, Prophet. I see you were on hold for a minute or so, so your mic is open. Interested in, first of all, doing this first symposium that is going to be a Bridging the Gap symposium. So this one is definitely a Bridging the Gap. Looking back at 2021, reflecting on 2022, and summarizing the strategies, and then also creating and releasing new strategies to move forward. So is there a team of people that's on the line? And the people may not all be on the line, but you may know someone that you would like to see serve in that capacity and would like to nominate them. Is there a team of people that would like to come together to work on this first one that is August 9th?
August 9th?
I mean, April 9th, excuse me, I'm in another calendar. Multitasking.
Apostle, can I ask a question? The April one that you're talking about, who is the audience again? Is that, that's not the one for leaders, was it?
No, the audience is going to be something that we talk about now. So if we want to kind of talk about the first symposium in April, who should the target audience be? I think we've already identified one aspect of the audience, because it should be those that participated in the 2021 conference. So that's one aspect of who the audience would be. So this is definitely a Bridge to Gap symposium. Okay. Is there anybody that kind of you see yourself as a Bridge the Gap kind of person? That's kind of the grace that's upon you to take what was and what is and help people process that, all while equipping them to move forward with the tools that they have been given. For those individuals on the line, are there individuals that see themselves in that capacity? Okay. By everybody's silence.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of times. Can you Give everybody an idea of who you're looking for. Are you looking for teachers? Are you looking for counselors? Are you looking for a prophetic voice? Who do you think would fit, or what gifts do you think would fit this task?
You know, I think Apostle Hooks, all the gifts should be there in leadership so that the perspective you know, comes from all aspects of our journey, of the offices, of how they impact the kingdom. So it probably would be best, you know, if the things included the fivefold. That's what God wanted to perfect the church.
Just a suggestion.
Okay. I think those the individuals, you know, definitely we're not, I don't anticipate leaving out any particular gifts because they each are going to have their place because you're going to always have a counseling component. So you're going to need those individuals. You're going to always have a deliverance component. So you're going to need those individuals given. The mere nature of it is this creative teaching and expressing and sharing. You're going to need those coach-type individuals to help people transition from one place to another. But those individuals that are definitely graced with helping people transition, everybody is in a transitioner. You're going to have to be able to pull from the past and make it connect to the present, all while sharing that or ministering that to individuals so that as they are transitioned, they are equipped. They also have to be forerunners because this is the first one, and so it's not like they're going to necessarily get a blueprint, let's do this, this, and that. You know, so they have to be self-starters. They have to be innovative and creative and confident to know, you know what, I can spend the time, we can spend the time collectively to get the direction on how to move this forward. Obviously, I can tell people, let's go back and get our promises. Let's get our soul decrees. Let's get our daily scripture. Let's get our healing calendar. You know, we can revisit all of the things that we visited before in the previous symposiums. But if that's not the nature of how this one is to go, maybe this is, you know, I don't know, square conversations at a triangle table or something, you know. You know, maybe this is more of a living room setting or a barbershop kind of setting, or, you know, maybe this is boots on the ground, and this particular symposium looks more like getting in the field with individuals, equipping them from where they stand and not inviting them to our comfort zone to share with them. So I think these are the kind of things that we have to stop and make some types of assessments about.
Well, I believe that the persons that are well-equipped for the task are on this line. And I just want to encourage those individuals. I think I know there's somebody here who's looking for opportunities to serve and to minister, and they're looking even to be stretched. And I just want to encourage those individuals that are here silent. That gift is in you. That word is in you. The power is in you. And April is far enough away for you to get it from the Holy Spirit, and it is close enough that you know it can be done. It's all right. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, because it's almost 20 of you guys on the line. So, all right. And that way I don't have to draft you all. That wouldn't be fun for you. Are people reluctant to share out loud? Do we? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I kind of I had to step away. So have you? We just volunteered for any workshop that we think we want to do or present. Is this that time?
No. Okay. So right now, and you know what? And maybe I wasn't clear with the assignment. So right now, we are looking for the consortium. We are looking for the team that says, look, I want to be a part of this bridge symposium. I see myself as an individual who can is a gap bridger. I see myself, I understand what we did, I understand the format and the overview of the information that went forward last year. I've heard some of the topics we're talking about presenting this year, and I don't mind reaching back to pull some people forward. And so I'm looking for individuals that will make up the team. As we find the individuals that make up the team, we can then give them the particular assignment. So
okay.
Right now we're just trying to put a team of five to seven people together.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Sisters, Elder Jen.
Elder Jen?
Yes, I'll be on the team.
Yes, I wrote your name. So that's a beautiful face. So here we have her. I'm not sure who all is still on the line. That's okay. Okay.
This is Elder Pittman. I'll join Elder Jen. I don't know what I'm joining, but I'm going to join Elder Jen.
Got you, KP. Got you, Elder. Any other... gap bridgers.
Oh, what is it?
Huh? Are the Winslows on the line?
Yes. We were just debating. Yes. Yes, we would like to be a part of that.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay, and I would like to be as well. This is the limit.
I got you.
Okay.
Is there anybody else? Okay. I am looking to assign two more people to the team. Now, please understand that while I'm going to assign two more people to the team, it doesn't mean that these are the people that will do all of the teaching and all of that. These are just the people leading the team. Okay? So, you know, if they want to reach out and ask, you know, Susie or Kevin to facilitate or to counsel or to be a part of the music or whatever capacity, they can do that within the scope of that team. Mm-hmm.
Apostle?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, I got a question. This may be a very stupid question, but I think I'm missing the whole point. What is the intent of the symposium? I understand it's bridging and we're going back like a debriefing. But when you say symposium as opposed to just a meeting for the debriefing, so I'm assuming it's got to be something else than just a whatever you're anticipating has to be more than just the debriefing. So I'm wondering what's the end result of this if we're talking about something that has already happened with the people who did it, or am I just completely on the wrong page?
No, no, you're not on the wrong page. We're just combining more than one thing. So one of the questions that went forward, who is the audience? So unique for this particular group, not that we don't always oftentimes reach out to the same group, but, you know, the first invitation to go and say, you know, thank you for participating last year. We want to invite you to be our special guest this year. We want to use you to build on as we move forward. This is what we're looking at addressing this year at this particular symposium. We want to begin to lay the foundation for where we're moving. Oh, we want to be able to lay the foundation for where we're moving in 2022, and we're asking that you will be a part of it. In doing that, issues may come up for individuals that were a part, like, you know what?
Okay, so these are the people that came. This is not like going back and reviewing those symposium classes and saying, this is
a critical analysis.
That's where my head is. That's what I'm thinking, like, what? Okay, I got a little bit better clarity because I'm thinking, like, how is this helping us this far away from the event, if you understand what I mean? But
no,
I think that's what you're saying. You're trying to take those people who came, gather information from them, and help build as we move forward, not necessarily going back to critique us who did it and understand or explore ways to do it better.
Exactly.
Well, we have the registration list. So.
Okay, and so what we just did, we put a team together, and so out of that, we'll make some team leaders. We're going to just develop some symposium leaders. And those are the individuals that will just oversee the symposiums this year altogether. Or symposium servants, whatever you want to call them, servant leaders. And then that way the team leaders for each symposium has another group of people that they can just brainstorm with. And I think that will empower people and just be just another line of support. So do we have any other volunteers before we draft people? Oh, hold on. I'm opening up your mic. Okay, he dropped, but that's okay. I'm still going to put him here. Got it. I'm not sure if Prophet Carter and Minister Pat are on the line, but I'm definitely adding you to this team. I mean, if you're not on the line, then we will just kind of put a group text together. And so I'll...
I'm on the line.
I'm getting texted. Okay, amen. I love it. And so this team, I'm just kind of trying to write one more name. Lord, trying to get people's correct names for us. So we have Elder Jen, Elder KP, Elders Winslow, so that's both of them, Emerging Elder Lynette, Prophet Carter, Minister Pat, and Pastor Linda. That's a hot team, and I'm very excited about that. Very, 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 very excited. The other thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to put a list together of counselors Or I'm going to ask Pastor T. I got to write her real name. What is it? What is her name? Well, Pastor Trust. Counselor. Dick, I had three areas. Follow up. Medical. And I'm going to call it relational impact, and that's deliverance. So if you know that you don't mind serving as a symposium servant leader, that means you will help oversee all of the symposiums that will take place this year. Please let me know. If you know you want to serve as a counselor, somebody that specifically works with follow-up, medical, relational impact, i.e. deliverance, please let me know. So with this particular team in mind, we just want to begin to creatively come up with an audience. Is there a group of people that we're passionate about for this April meeting to reach out to?
The shelters, maybe?
The who?
Shelters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Any other group?
Community organizations, particularly those that may be in the geographical area of the church,
community
around
organizations. Is there anybody else? If you're getting kicked off, let me know. I see people are getting kicked off, and my computer is about to run out of juice. But I have community organizations. I just made a note of that. Okay. This is not working like I thought. How do I add?
Oh, that may be great.
Gav here.
Hello.
One moment.
Okay.
Can people hear me? Okay. Wonderful.
Yes, we can hear you.
Shelters, community organizations. What else? And I mean that's a good start. And especially because it is on Zoom, making the links available to them, giving them a special invite, maybe making a little badge available to them as well. People, you know, so there's a variety of things you can do. The community organization, you can even have a time on location if you want, where some of the community organizations come together just introducing themselves or set up a community organization pop-up shop or something like that where, you know, each community organization could be interviewed or something on Zoom. You know, talking about what they're doing and things of that nature.
Can I also submit, and this one could be a little further in the future, it doesn't have to be for this one, but just giving space and making the community itself, especially the community within a mile, 2 mile radius of the church, making them an audience, letting them know that so it helps let you all know that you are there, but also provides an opportunity to serve and minister to the community.
Mm-hmm. I think that's phenomenal. I think that everything we do should include that. If it's drop a flyer in with the Zoom link, coming up with some creative ways to draw them in, but I definitely think we should always open ourselves up. If it's put some stuff at the gas station, if it's put some stuff in those little corner stores, whatever the case may be. But again, making ourselves available to the community. I received one of these conferences was going on, I don't remember which one, we became a part of some community organizations and received a book that has some active people doing things in the community and who's responsible, and just they kept making themselves available. So definitely utilizing that resource to reach out to people. So I think that that would be phenomenal as well. So I think that creating this particular type of target audience will also afford you, so we know that there's some shelters, at least two, that come to our church on a regular basis that desire to participate with our programming. Now, unfortunately, I can't think of the name of Apostle Tony's shelter right now. Anybody on the line know the name of his shelter? I don't know if Henderson is on the line. My computer's right there. But there are some shelters, treatment centers, et cetera, that we interact with. Now, we may not have even known that they represent shelters or treatment centers, but engaging them. If they want to set up a satellite, Zoom at their location, or if we want
right.
to invite them to view it on the community side of church and make things available. That's a lot of feedback. We may want to be put our phones on mute. Make that available to them. So those are some things that this group of people and the rest of us can begin to look at. So I am definitely looking for those who would like to submit their names, or you can submit the name of somebody else as well, for the following thing, to be team servant leaders, for those who would like to submit their names to symposium servant leaders. Oh, for the symposium, servant leaders, counselors, follow-up, medical, deliverance, that's number one. Then following, let's pull out about what's the length of time that you all want, you see the symposium going from, what time frame? So that is something that I am asking you all to develop, is the time frame. Based off of your time frame, the number of seminars or trainings, time frame, the number of seminars, training, or just sessions.
I like 10 to 1.
Oh, I'm going to let your group, and then
the group is going to. Okay.
Is
wonderful.
That, I mean,
that's
yeah,
one
I mean,
of
that's
those.
Good
okay.
So that's
one
what I'm giving you, the things that I need you to come back with, so that we can begin
okay,
to
great.
Identify what all can happen within the scope of the time that you all have set up. And,
mm-hmm.
we can make suggestions from that perspective. And based off of the time frame, we can begin to look at the number of sessions that you all will cover or that will be covered within that time frame. I also want to encourage you, as you're looking at who you're inviting, make your time frame, not just this group, but all of the groups, make your time frames work for the people that you're looking to reach. So if you have people that are, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock in the morning kind of people, just because that's the kind of people you're looking to reach, then make sure you schedule accordingly. If you go, oh, we need to break it up 2 or 3 times a day to be effective to reach our people, then let's do that. So let's be creative with our approach. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to assume that means okay. So I am asking people to volunteer for the other things. I am asking for Elder Jen, Elder KP, the Winslows, Elder Minister Winslow, Emerging Elder Lynette, Prophet Carter, Minister Pat, Pastor Linda, to all come together. Elder Jen, I am asking you to coordinate that for you all to come together in a conference call, a conference text, and come up with, you know, time frames, number of sessions, maybe even what you want yours to be called. You know, what's your scripture? You want to come back with all of that information.
Is there a deadline by when you'd like to have that?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the calendar now. I'm in August working on something, so. Our next strategy meeting is the 12th, so I would like that information prior to the strategy meeting so that by the time we get to the strategy meeting, we can begin to incorporate those things and release the next team to begin to work as well. One of the things, I'm going to answer the question. We're at the 8th right now. Is it too much to ask for this information by the 22nd?
Okay.
Is that too soon? Okay, do they?
I'll double check with the group, but I believe we can get
that. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I know that I said that we would do 3 this year, but the subcategory or the additional one that I want to make sure, and I will, well, I definitely want to put something on the calendar for a youth component. So I will see how we can fit that in and put that in. Yes. And so if people are going, I think it would be good to do one that's for all men or things of that nature, there is flexibility to do that. So please don't think because we said we were going to do them quarterly that there is not space to do something different because there is flexibility within that because I know that I want to do a youth one, and I know that we also want to do something for women. So that could be above and beyond the 3 that we have already designated. So any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, input? Any of those things?
When we going to do some more street ministry?
Yeah, more of that.
That, again, those are things that can happen within the scope of these individual teams, especially for the ones that are community-focused, sending teams out to go to the shelters, sending teams out, you know, strategically before each of these events to draw people in. Come on, we're about to do something. Meet us over here. And then, again, there is other opportunities outside of this venue within Word Life Center and then also within the scope of AEN that street evangelism will present itself. great questions. Any other questions, comments, suggestions, input? No?
Mm-mm.
Have we covered everything that people, have we met your goal for this meeting?
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful and awesome. All right, so I am looking for people to call and check, for people to text me today if they're interested in being present leaders, symposium present leaders, follow-up ministry, medical counselors, deliverance, et cetera. And even if there's an evangelism team, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, I just wrote that down. That's superb.
Mm-hmm. Evangelism team.
Mm-hmm. So then I am going to conclude this meeting. I definitely appreciate you all's input. This has been a phenomenal gathering. We are putting together some things for the year. So we're definitely looking for input for things for the year. Yes, I was. Could you bring it when you come, please, sir? I'm definitely looking for things for the year. A great deal of what we're looking at doing is preparing people to continue to gather. My word for the year is the coming or to come. So I am definitely looking at every opportunity to gather people to come. So you're going to hear me just say that no matter what venue, what area, you're just going to keep hearing me say that. So I don't want you to restrict that to a particular organizational structure concept. That's just where I'm at this year. I am trying to mobilize people to prepare them for the come. So with all of that being said, thank you so much. Definitely appreciate these topics and look forward to seeing them, seeing how they'll play out. And Elder KP, Elder and Minister Winslow, Emerging Elder Lynette, Prophet Carter, Minister Pat, Pastor Linda, does everybody have contact information for Elder Jen?
I have Elder Jen.
Okay, if you don't have it, say something. Is there anyone who does not have her contact information?
I don't.
Yes, the Winslow.
I
can provide it to the Winslow.
We can put it in the chat. Oh, no, there's no chat here. We can...
I could just say it out loud. There is no chat, is there? We all cool.
No, yeah, okay.
I got to say it out loud.
Platform they're on.
I could just say it.
Okay, Elder, is there an email address or a number that you want to give?
Sure. The phone number for text, I do not have voicemail, sorry, but text is 312-493-3825. I'm much better with text than phone calls. And my email address is g.words, that's WORD as in dog, S as in Sam, the number 23, g.words23@gmail.com. If you didn't get it,
okay,
text me, and I'll text it to you. And please let me know who you are. So I can
please don't call her because she's asked you to text her. So I don't want people to say I tried to call her and I didn't get her. You didn't get her because she asked you to text her. So let's
okay. I'm going to name my next five children after you. Thank you.
My next five children.
Excuse me. All right. So does everybody on that team, bare minimum, have that contact information?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful, and awesome. Wonderful and awesome. All right. And again, there were about 15 or so seminars released that are available, and yet you guys may not want to use any of them. Reaching out, we can begin to look at who you're interested in facilitating and things of that nature. And thank you for your time. Is there somebody that would like to close us out in prayer, please?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, sir.
All right. I will close this out in prayer.
Thank
you. Our precious and divine Father, we thank you and bless you for these, your people, that have gathered together. We pray, oh Lord God, that you would baptize them, God, with your vision, God, with your power, with your direction, that you will lead them, Heavenly Father, that you will immerse them in your presence and in your spirit, God, and empower them for such a time as this. We bless you, Lord God, for the direction, God, of the AEN, for all that have been a part, God. We pray, oh Holy Father, that our contributions, oh Lord God, will extend beyond this moment, and that you will be glorified in the work that we put forth our hands to do. Speak, Holy Father, thy servants here. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. And we bless you for it, God. Now may the heart of worship and the heart of praise, oh Lord God, go forth, go before us in the name of Jesus, God. May we be stirred up, oh Holy Father, to exalt you, to glorify you, Lord God, and to make every enemy bow. And that as they bow, Lord God, as mountains are moved out of their place, Heavenly Father, as everything, Lord God, that could be a hindrance or an obstacle, Heavenly Father, is dealt with in the spirit and in the natural, may we see, Heavenly Father, clearly what it is that you are doing, God, when you are preparing for us and for your people. We bless you, Lord God, for the anointing to lead, the anointing to teach, the anointing, God, to prophesy, the anointing to bridge gaps, God, and to bring men and women, Heavenly Father, into a prosperous place. And we bless you, Holy Father, for all of these and many other blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys. And have a wonderful day. And we have in-person worship tomorrow. We have in-person worship tomorrow. And we have somebody there that will be doing COVID testing as well. So just FYI. Yes.
Can I pick up my book tomorrow?
Yes. If you have a book, please pick it up. I just got to take this moment to fuss about it because they did not deliver the books. And I found out yesterday that they didn't deliver the books. They delivered it to 150. Yes, they delivered it to 150 West 124th, and the people rejected it and sent it back. And so I said, well, everybody will just have to get their book next week, whatever. And the powers that be said, ain't no way, we need these books here. And it was just like, we cannot get these books sent to us. And the cost would be astronomical. And they were like, Apostle, we need all of our books today. I just want y'all to know at about 10 o'clock, oh, no, it was before class started. So at about 9:30, the book showed up on my porch. So, yes, everybody, come and pick up these books tomorrow because they
do you
are
have an extra
here.
Praise God. From the church, not from your porch, right?
Oh, no, you can, no, you, yeah, don't come to me. Actually, I don't want to see nobody in this book because I'm going to have an attitude.
What is the book?
Do you have any extra books? Because I've been trying to get a book.
You need to see Elder Sherita. If I was you, I would text her now because the books are first come, first serve, and nothing personal. I'm not ordering any more books that people have not paid for. All these people that put a request in that have not paid for these books. So they're here, but I promise you it's going to be first come, first serve.
What are the books, Apostle?
He has sent an email since we've been on the line regarding the book. So if you've pre-ordered a book, she sent you an email. Well, she sent a general email.
Oh.
So
okay.
Check it out.
I never.
Yeah. Amen. I don't know. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. All I know is the books are here tomorrow. They will be at church. You want to see Elder Sherita to get your book, and that's all I know.
What book are you referring to?
Oh, yeah. The book is the, what is it called? Jupiter. One on One with God. It is the book that we are about to spend in class, and it is mandatory.
Okay.
All about to go through this relational, what I call it relational discipleship. it is something that we're doing as a church, as a network, as a kingdom, and it is One on One with God by Jerry and Marilyn Fine.
Okay, I got it.
And so, you know, that's that about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is
okay.
Via Zoom on Wednesdays at whatever time it happens on Wednesday. A lot of information to be forthcoming regarding that. But so to answer your question, yes, those books are here. Good Lord.
Didn't mean to stir up that much. I just was going for a yes.
You know what? It's okay. The moment I walk in my living room and see those books, I'm going to be stirred up again. I'm going to be stirred up the whole 15 weeks that I got to look at these books that I had to order and have sent to me overnight. Because they went to 150 West. And this is the second order. This is the second shipment. So, yes. Get your book tomorrow. Because I can't say it'll be here afterwards.
Pay for your book.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Elder. I probably wasn't clear, was I? Cash on hand. Oh, let me be crystal clear. Come with cash in your hand because she is not accepting an IOU. She would, but she is not tomorrow. No. Cash on hand, cash on. Look, no checks, cash on hand.
How much?
You can get it on Amazon for like $17.
They're $20. So.
Do you need a love donation to help with that extra shipping?
It's you funny.
Oh, it's Lester.
You do not want to know what that shipping costs, okay?
I can imagine.
And
And if
Apostle Shannon.
Yes.
Is it all right if I Zelle it to you? Will you accept the Zelle?
A Zelle? Oh, yeah, she can process the Zelle.
Okay, well, you know you were adamant on cash on hand, so I'm just making sure.
But you know why? I'm glad you said that, Elder, because people that Zelle just send money. And I have no idea what it's for. So then if they send it on Sunday, I'm going to say it's tithes and offering. And then on Tuesday, I get a text saying, I sent you X amount of dollars for apples and oranges. And I was supposed to know that? We didn't say that. So people,
yeah, I always put in my message bar tithes. And I always put tithes, but you wouldn't see that. So. Well, you know what mine is.
No, so.
because I emailed, I texted you as well to let you know that I veiled it.
Okay, so yeah, I definitely need people to do that. So even the accountants are like, well, you said this money was for this. Well, that's what they said it was for. I can't help they spent it three times on three different things. Who can, you know, who can keep up with that? Well, I sent you X amount, that you did, and I thought it was for this. And then you sent me something else, and it's for that. Well, somebody can't ask.
Well, I text you and say, Apostle, I veiled you blank for tithes. So that seems
that
to work. Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I mean, those people that veil, that Cash App, I don't know, whatever you do, that's fine. I just need you to put in there what it is for. And not just send it, because that's how I turn it in. So yeah, those books are here. Lord. Yes. All right. Well, it's been phenomenal serving you. I look forward to worshiping with you guys and furthering the conversations that I'm sure will exist regarding this. And going from there. So thank you for praying us out, and have a blessed and prosperous day. And
Apostle,
enjoy
this is
the
Elder Jen. Can I ask if everybody on that committee, even if you think I have your information, if you would please text me your email address or email it to me.
Okay.
So do one of those two things today, please. That would be a big help. Everybody on that symposium committee.
Thank you.
Okay.
I don't know how to say it. You said we're good for now? So keep it last. Thank you for doing it.
It's available for 2 days. I can do the more hardcore math for like 1 day.
Okay.
Any other announcements? All right, well, enjoy the movement of the Holy Spirit. All righty there. All right, blessings. Let's see my
computer.
I'm sorry, somebody's speaking.
It's me. Did you get my text message?
I'm sure I probably did, and let me check because I did. Oh, yes, not a problem.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye for now.
Okay. I don't know if I can disconnect if I